Pre-trade pacts, as they are called, are one of the more powerful tools of American diplomacy. Proponents describe them as a sure way to promote the benefits of democracy and free markets. Those who oppose them accuse the trade pact promoters of glossing over their side. To help Great Decisions listeners sort through the pros and cons, we invited an expert to talk to us about trade pacts. Mark Zandi is the chief economist of Moody's Analytics, where he directs economic research. He is also a co-founder of Economy.com, trusted advisor to policymakers and an influential source of economic analysis for businesses, journalists, and the public. Dr. Zandi conducts regular briefings on the economy for corporate boards, trade associations, and policymakers. Here's my conversation with Mr. Zandi. Trade pacts. I mean, they tie countries together, open up commercial faucets, and people say they're a surefire way to get American ideals and democratic values around the world, as well as add prosperity to countries. So what do you think?
I would agree with that. I mean, I think the more closely linked global economies are, and one of the key links is through trade flows, the better off we all are. Our interests will be more closely aligned, and that means that the politics will be better, and I think we'll accomplish more. So I would concur with that that sentiment. I think anything that improves global trade flows is a plus for the U.S. economy and for the global economy.
Well, if that is true, why does it take so long to get these pacts done? I mean, if something is so self-obvious, then countries ought to be jumping over themselves to get these things signed. But they seem to take so long and to run through so many hoops.
Well, in any trade deal, there's winners and there's losers. You know, on net, it's a win, but there are some clear losers in any trade deal. So when you're opening up trade in a product or a service, that competition creates difficulty for the industries and businesses that are in that industry. So they have a vested interest to fight these kind of trade deals, and so it makes it difficult politically to get these things done, at least in a timely way. And generally, the losers, you know, they feel the pain right up front. The winners don't feel the benefit until over a period of time. So you'll generally hear the losers scream very loudly in the political process, and that slows things down. In many cases, it actually short-circuits the process. So it's not surprising that trade deals are hard to craft and get into place and then to execute on in an effective way.
So let me ask you about the trade deal that we're trying to work out with China. We have NAFTA, which ties America and Mexico and Canada together. The Asian countries under ASEAN have been trying to pull themselves together, but here's the United States now floating the idea and actively pushing the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So is this a little bit of intrusion? I mean, how would the U.S. have felt if China had come over and started a whole new commercial pact here? So is this a good type of economic statecraft? I mean, what's this all about?
Well, I think so. I mean, it's certainly engaging the Chinese in the discussion and negotiation to open up trade more fully across the Pacific region. And, you know, I'm sure you're right. If the Chinese attempted something similar on this side of the Pacific, that'd certainly get our competitive juices flowing. So, you know, I think that's fair to say. But I think it's entirely appropriate to go down this path because the greater the trade, the more closely our interests will be tied and the better off we'll all be. And it's not just trade. You know, once trade flows improve, that means capital flows pick up. It means migration picks up. You know, generally, when you're trading with another country, people from that country come to yours and you go to them. And, you know, I think that's all for the good. And it also ultimately leads to, I think, better outcomes in terms of labor policy and environmental policy, and
right.
I think it's very, very important for everyone involved. So, yeah, there's, you know, it's competitive, and you know, some people aren't going to be very happy about it, but I think ultimately it's a good thing.
Do you think the United States is at a disadvantage in negotiating trade pacts with China? Because it's now a creditor nation, do you think that impacts the strength of discussions that we carry out?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think the fact that the Chinese own so much in treasury debt,
right.
You know, last I looked, they owned 1.2, 1.3 trillion in treasury debt, means that they're very closely tied with the United States. You know, what happens in the United States will have a very significant financial impact on them. So we're essentially tied at the hip. So I think it makes for better negotiations. You know, I think it'd be great and I think desirable. And one of the reasons to have a trade pact is so that we have more balanced trade, and so we don't have these very large imbalances
right.
that lead to these kinds of, you know, significant holdings. But you know, I don't know that they should. I don't think they'll short circuit the process, and I don't think they'll even impair it. In fact, it might help to accelerate it because, again, the Chinese are, their fortunes are tied to our fortunes now,
right.
And they have an interest in making sure this all works out well.
You believe in this projection that the 21st century, the center of gravity for economics, trade dynamics, belongs in the Pacific region, with China leading?
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable expectation. You know, obviously, Europe is in the middle of some pretty significant restructuring, and it's going to be difficult for them to gain traction for a while. And so the European economy, I think, will lag. And, you know, the Asian economy is incredibly dynamic and experiencing very rapid growth. And, you know, there are certainly a lot of challenges, things that the region has to overcome for this to be very successful. But I think if history is any guide, they will be successful. And this will be, in all likelihood, the most dynamic and fastest growing part of the global economy. So, you know, in that sense, yeah, the financial center of gravity will shift more towards Asia, away from Europe. But having said that, you know, obviously the European economy is incredibly important too,
right.
And always will be.
In closing, I wanted you to clarify for our listeners, there are headlines whenever credit ratings of countries are changed, as France's was not too long ago. Do credit ratings really mean as much for countries as they do for corporations?
No, you know, I don't think so, in the sense that countries ultimately have control over their own destiny, right?
I mean,
they can change their financial situation. They just have to find the political will to do it. And that's very, very different situation than companies, businesses, households, you know, all other debtors, because a lot of things are out of their control and
right.
they can't control them. So in that sense, it's very, very different. Now, you know, obviously for some countries, what they have in their control is different than others. But in general, sovereigns have the ability to, they can change things and they can change those ratings. And the other thing I'd say about ratings in general, particularly around sovereigns, is it's kind of old news when the change occurs. Not like the rating agency is telling anything you don't already know, or
right.
at least all the investors already know.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, there's any informational content generally. The rating agencies don't have, at least as far as I know, they don't have any inside information. They're really good people, good analysts. They're really focused on the budget process in each of these countries and trying to understand the economic, fiscal, and political situations in those economies. But they're analysts like everybody else, and so change in rating generally is not signaling anything that, you know, it's not already out there in the marketplace.
You've been listening to a conversation with Mr. Mark Zandi on behalf of the Foreign Policy Association. Thank you for listening.